As we look into the Word of God, we realize that the Word of God is most powerful and it's most wonderfully presented when it's presented the way that God wants it presented. I found it in the years that I've been living, there have been a multiplicity of people that have decided that God's Word, the way that it's presented, is not good enough. And they want to change it. And usually when God's Word is changed, it's always, every time I've seen it, for the worse. Even when it seems to be for the better. Now, when looking at this passage of the ninth chapter of the book of Leviticus, we're going to attack something without really attacking it. We're just going to show the truth of the Word of God. Malachi 3:6 says that God changed not. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created unto good works. I submit to you, and I want to lay out to you, that this is what's going to be shown and exemplified in this chapter tonight. I'm going to lay out a case tonight that shows that God wants to dwell in the midst of his people. He's preparing to be able to dwell in the midst of his people, and he's showing what's necessary to dwell in the midst of his people. I submit to you that it's all because of his grace. It'll only be accomplished through faith. And I submit to you that the works that men do in this particular case, if they have not been done, will not allow the grace of God to be fully manifest, and their faith would be vain. I have a large task to do tonight, but I believe that this passage will bear it out. Our title for the night, for tonight, is God's grace through faith will allow his presence to dwell in the family. God's grace through faith will allow his presence to be known in the family. What's the word that I left out in there? I will submit to you that the faith in this chapter is going to show that it's done by works. All right, let's roll with it. Andrina, are you going to read for us tonight? You're going to shook your head for no, so it's on me?
And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel.
Now, when we look at the Word of God and we see something as significant as the eighth day, let's not let that run past us. The eighth day is usually the first day. The eighth day is usually at the completion of something that's done on a seven. I'm not trying to get into just what we call numerology, but I do want us to understand that when 7 days of creation took place, the eighth day was the first day. When people do anything that's significant for 7 days, the next day is the first day of the next week. Let me illustrate and we'll be moving on. They had to be consecrated for 7 days. We've talked about in other chapters. And the tabernacle had to be purified and consecrated for 7 days. At the end of the 7 day cycle, here is a new week. Now we are able to go with this new week so that God will allow them to be able to orchestrate and fulfill their role in the ministry. So, Anne, if you will take me a little deeper.
And he said to Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord.
Now what we're going to look at in this particular case, the Word of God said, and he said, now who is he saying? We're talking about Moses. He called Aaron and his sons. He said to Aaron, take you a calf for a sin offering. We got another, that hatah again. Another sin to purify. We're going to take you a calf. What did Aaron build? What did Aaron build that was wicked? He built a golden calf. Now, well, remember, if we go back to what we were talking about earlier in these passages, we're going to realize that Aaron, whenever he purifies himself, it also goes for the people, and it also will go for the tabernacle. Now, here is a strong piece right here, Anne. It says, where it says, take you a young calf. If you look that up, this is Ben Bakar. That's a son of the herd. Aaron, take a son of the herd. Now think about this. All of our transgressions are going to be purified by a son of the family. In this case, God is using his illustrative ways of saying, I want you to take a son of the herd, a young calf. That's what that young is. That young is Ben. I don't know why they didn't put son in my translation, but that's okay. A son of the herd, and use it for a purification offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. That's the olah, an ascent offering. Notice, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. I submit to you that these same terms are used for the priest that's going to serve God. When we get to the level of what a priest has, it's going to be a male. It's going to be a male without blemish. That individual is going to be before the Lord so the individuals can draw near, which would lead one to believe that in the particular case that these animals have some type of a priestly function for the people. Remember, animals were servants to men. And animals are servants to God as well. If you don't think they're servants to God, ask the raven if we could call it back. Who told you to go and feed Elijah? Ask the ass. Who was it that told you or allowed you the ability to talk, to rebuke this prophet so God doesn't kill him? Well, that's enough on that. The Bible says here, take a young calf for the purification, a ram for the olah, the offering that you're going to do for the ascent, making without blemish. And here's the key here. Moses commanded Aaron and told him what to do. Mm-hmm. Moses didn't come up with this on his own. We can read in Exodus 29 and 30 and see what God was having him to do. God said this. Moses is repeating this. This is something he has to do, and this is a work that has to be done in order for God's presence to come and dwell with that family, his presence for protection, his presence for provision, his presence for the individuals that have the complete justice that people so long for. And I submit to you that if Aaron had said, Lord, we're coming here to you on faith, we understand it's your grace that you want to be here with us, but we don't want to do the work. We just want to believe. We don't want to go and find a son of the herd. We don't want to go and get a ram for a burnt offering, but we want your presence. Are you beginning to feel where I'm coming from? Because I want to hammer this in, because people have so maligned the God of the scripture that it makes it seem like God didn't have any grace back then. Yet when Moses told God, when we were in the book of Exodus, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. God said, I'll hide you in the rock. I'll just let you see my hand departs. And when he went by, what did he say? The Lord. The Lord. And he said, he's gracious. Do you think that he was just gracious to Moses, that he just became gracious at that time? Or was he always gracious? I submit that he was always gracious. Take me to verse 3, please.
And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying.
I want to pull this right here. Unto the children of Israel you shall speak. You shall command. It will not just be that you're just saying, Rumpelstiltskin went to sleep and he woke up and that's your speech. No. This is a command. This is a debar, a word. Please give me some more.
Take a kid of the goats. For sin offering.
Take a kid. This is what you have to do. I want to dwell in your presence. I want my presence with you. I want to manifest my grace to you. I want to manifest my glory to you. I want to see that you have faith in me. But the only way that we're going to see that the faith that you have in me is going to be that you do the work that I told you to do. It's my grace. But I'm not going to take this goat for you. Please read, please read.
Take a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering.
Notice they are without blemish, and let's keep this in our mind as we think about it. You're going to take a goat, a kid. You're going to take a calf. You're going to take a lamb. You got three. Both for the first year, and what you got a sin offering and you have a burnt offering for the congregation, and you also have it for Aaron. Verse 4.
Also a bullock and a ram for peace offering.
We're going to have my presence here today. But the first thing in order that we see is that you need to be purified. The second thing that we need to see is that you're going to offer everything up to me. Then what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that after we do that, we're going to be able to have what is called a peace offering, a communal offering. Give me some more and let me show you what's going to add to that peace offering, that communal offering.
Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you.
We're going to have God's presence. But if you're unwilling to accept my grace, you will forfeit everything that I have for you. I don't understand why we don't see God's word as plain as it is. It did not say that if you bring a burnt offering that will suffice. It did not say if you brought a sin offering and left the burnt offering out, it will suffice. Well, you can say I brought the burnt offering, and the burnt offering will allow me to be able to have an ascent for you to show that I'm totally dedicated to you. Lord, I think right there is enough to be in your presence. But I don't understand, Lord, why do you want the sin offering or the hatah offering before you want the burnt? Because unless you are right with me, you can't help me. And if you will, while I'm just pontificating on God's word, I'm only giving his words, but I want you to go to Matthew 7:1. I want you to help me to help others see how God's word is so consistent. And then if you've done your purification and your burnt offering and say, well, I want to skip the peace offering, then you messed up. Because God's presence wants to be with us. That's his grace. That's his love. But it has to be in a prescribed manner, because mankind had moved so far away from God that in order for God and mankind to reach each other, it has to be an act of God's will of his own. God's grace is being shown here. And the faith of the people is being shown here when they say, okay, we'll commune with him and we'll bring the meal, the tribute offering. Why would you put the tribute offering after the peace offering? Notice, they both can be eaten. They both can be one in each other. They can be, the offering can be one with the priest. The priest can eat and be one with the offerer. And then the altar is consuming the food. It's a communal thing that God is doing to be in the presence. And it's all done by the act of God's grace wanting to be there. It's all done because the people believing that God will allow their sins to be purified like this. But the glue that holds it together is their obedience, or the work, fulfilling the work that God gave them. Help me with Matthew 7:1. And I want to show us something that the Lord shows his consistency in.
Judge not, that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again.
Now the Bible teaches, and people like to use this passage in the Bible to say that one is not supposed to judge. And I understand that when they read that, they don't understand that the sacrificial system was totally about judgment. It was showing that you need to be purified. It was showing that you need to be dedicated. It was showing that you need to have communion with God. It was showing you need to give tribute to God. But when it said, judge not that you be not judged, it's not saying that an individual is not supposed to judge in particular. It was saying whatever judgment you judge, it'll come back to you. You judge righteously, you want righteous judgment. But the point that I want to hammer in on is what comes next. Please help me, Ann.
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
The word of God is saying, and Jesus is talking to his disciples and those that were there with him, why? Why would you look at the mote or the speck that is in your brother's eye and not do what?
Considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye.
The word of God is showing that Aaron, you are going to be my high priest. You are going to be in a position of judging. You're going to be in a position of accepting or rejecting people's sacrifices. But Aaron, before you can judge and get a beam out of, a mote out of anybody's eye or a speck out of anybody's eye, acknowledge first that you need to be purified. Acknowledge first that you need to be totally dedicated. Acknowledge first that you need to have communion with me. Acknowledge first that you are bringing to me tribute. I submit to you that what God is showing in all applications is before you go and serve the people, Aaron, you got to get right with me yourself. Then when you go to the people, they can't come back and say, Aaron did so-and-so. How is it that he can do so-and-so? And I know he's not pure because I seen him last night over there with one of those girls in Dan. The Bible is showing explicitly. But I don't think that many times we have even thought of this passage as even going the same way. Finish that passage. It's very pretty.
Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye.
Aaron, how is it that you can put a person in the position to serve God, to have their sins atoned for, to have themselves totally dedicated to God, to have communion with God, and to come before God as a king and be accepted if you're not accepted? How can you teach it? The Bible says first, finish reading it, and it's so pretty.
Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Do you see how pretty that is, Ann? That is so pretty. Now, somebody may not understand it. I'll just give them one little scripture. 2 Timothy 2:6 says, the husbandman that labors, that works, must be first partaker of the fruits. Aaron is going to be working for God. Don't you think that what Aaron is doing is just faith and grace? Aaron is going to be working. He is going to be working in the garden of God. This is just like the Garden of Eden again to a certain extent. You have cherubim there. You have boundaries there. And when we get to Numbers, you will see that you have the Levites' garden to keep people from coming in unless they're accepted. Aaron is working in there. He is the man of the house. And he's laboring. But the Bible says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. I believe the Bible is very clear on that. And take me back to Leviticus, because, you know, I didn't want to teach another lesson, but I do want us to see that these poignant pictures could cut down on a lot of controversy when people say that we're not supposed to judge. No, we're supposed to do like Aaron, get purified first, ourselves, dedicated to God, ourselves, commune with God, ourselves, and let our lives be a living tribute to God. Oh, yes, then we are fully able to help and to help an individual get online with God. Please read, Ann.
For today the Lord will appear unto you.
Now, that's the beautiful thing. Aaron, if you do right, get yourself together, and the people are willing, and you get your helpers together. Then the people come when they follow you, after you followed God's word. Then God can manifest his grace. God can manifest his presence. But if you don't believe it, you will not obey. If you believe it, you will obey and do the work that God has set forth for you to do. But it will never be a work that you orchestrated. This is not your plan, Aaron. This is God's plan. And I want you to read that fifth verse again for me. I just love it. No, I mean the fourth. I'm wrong.
Okay. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you.
Feel that in. I'm trying to make you feel it, okay? God's going to appear. Look, God is going to appear today. Wow. Imagine what it must have been like to those people. That's a lot of faith. And you mean to tell me if we do A, B, C, and D, purification, burnt, peace offering, meal offering, and offer it like God said in the order, he's going to appear? Our Savior? Our salvation? That's grace. That's faith combined with works. And everyone is essential to do God's will. Why? Because he wanted to be there. Read the next verse.
And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation.
And they obeyed what Moses said, and they worked the work which God had for them to do. They worked as if they were God's workmanship, and they brought it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and what?
And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord.
And all of them came forth with anticipatory joy. They came with the expectation that if God has said something so graciously to us, we'll believe what he says, we'll do what he says, and God is going to come, and we're not only going to be pure before him, we're not only going to be dedicated before him, but we will get to commune. He's coming. He's coming. We're going to get to participate in some of what Abraham had. We're going to get to participate in a meal with God Almighty, albeit Abraham didn't eat, but the joy of having God there in your home. I've said it before. It doesn't matter what your politics is. It is a great honor for a president to come to your home, even if the president was somebody I didn't like, because I can go through the book of Daniel and see that was some people that I'm sure Daniel, they did not agree with their politics. But because God was with Daniel, they listened to Daniel and was able to effect change for the benefit of those that love God. We should carry ourselves in such a way that even if there was a president, a dictator, a city council member, whatever came to our home, that we've conducted ourselves in such a way that if they knew us, our words would have weight. And whereas other people are complaining, I don't see how you ate with that congressman. I don't see how you were able to go out with that senator. But they don't know your God. I didn't see Daniel tainted by those men. Neither did I see the other four eunuchs, if they did go ahead and make them eunuchs like the prophecy would be. And read some more of the sweet word of God that I love so well.
And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do.
See, that's the point. It didn't say this in the first part. It says, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them so and so. But now the word is there. This is God's commandment. Without God's commandment, read the next of the verse and we'll see what will not happen.
And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you.
The converse of that, or the antithesis of that, is if you don't do what God has commanded you to do, the glory of the Lord will not appear to you, not in the way that will commune. Because we'll see in chapter 10 the glory of the Lord is going to appear. But it's not going to be in the way some people like it. So the Bible says that this is the work. This is the thing that God has commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear. If you will take advantage of his grace when it's offered, if you will believe God for what he said, if we will just believe the Almighty God and quit listening to folks, quit going on what we think, if we will obey his commandments, if God doesn't change like the word of God say, his glory can appear to you. It can appear to you and irrespective of how I live. It can appear irrespective to anybody if we would do what God said, because his grace is there. The faith should be in his word. All we need to know is how to become his workmanship that's created unto good works and do his works, because he wants his presence in the family. It's not just for the family of the children of Israel there. It's for all of us, every individual family, and the family seeking the truth, and the family of individuals that say they love God Almighty, who is blessed forever, who sits between the cherubim. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people.
And the Bible said, go, you go and make an offering. You go and make this offering for who?
For thyself.
Get the beam out of your eye. You go and be first partaker of this fruit. You go and experience what my grace says first. You go and be obedient to me first. You purify yourself first. Get yourself right, and then you'll be in the position to help others. Read some more.
And for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded.
It's amazing that we can see in this passage that Aaron had to take care of himself first, to get himself right with people. But how many of us that call ourselves parents or that are parents want our children to do right, want our children to live a circumspect life before God? But how many of us have not really purified ourselves and keep our minds purified before God and have not totally dedicated ourselves from God and separated from that which is profane so that we can live that which is holy, so that we can exercise our faith in God by being obedient to him through our works, so that God's presence can be in our lives, so that we can show the way instead of yap, 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 talking the way. How many of us have failed to do first things first? Aaron is in the position of leadership. He has a role of authority. Parents in the position of leadership. They have a role of authority. Pastors in a position of leadership. They have a role of authority. But I submit to you that the poor, I almost said it like my daddy did, the poor kind of people that they have as pastors today, many of them, they do not want to be purified. They just want to check. They don't want to be dedicated to God. They just want the fame and the authority. They don't want to have communion with God. What they want to do is have status. And we see the falling away of the churches by following these people. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. Men running over women. Men making people merchandise, calling themselves the men of God. When we get back to the biblical standard, we'll see a man that will be interested in getting his life right with God so that God can have his presence with him and in his own family and then in the family of God and in his community. Please read some more of the sweet word of God, Ann.
Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself.
Aaron went and obeyed and got himself right, and he got himself purified. Now, we may not be able to go and have a purification offering. Now, Christ is our purgation offering or our purification offering, but I submit to you that many times we need to be purged of what we have in our lives. It can be hatred, it can be wrath, it can be sex. Now, I'm not saying sexual addiction, I'm saying sexual immorality and ungodliness and perversion. It can be family members that are keeping us from being strong in the Lord. It can be our own attitude that's keeping us from being strong in the Lord because we feel we have time. But Aaron, he went to the altar. He experienced the substitutionary death of this son of the herd in this place, which was for himself. That was a type and a figure of him purifying himself. Somebody say, I don't see how the animal could purify himself. That's the faith. That's the faith. That's God's graciousness that allowed that to take place because Jesus had not come into in the flesh yet. But God is allowing these people to still be saved by faith. When you see that the law is a problem with man, when the law is a problem with man, they don't see that the faith part is necessary and they think that all they're doing is killing an animal. They don't see God's grace and therefore they just want to do the work. And they miss out on the whole blessing. Next verse, please.
And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar, and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar.
He took the blood, and the blood is now manifest on the altar. Now the altar is purified. Once the altar is purified, now the altar is holy, is purified. Aaron is purified as well because he's identified with the altar right now. And then he's going to tell us, I got a little acronym for you after she read verse number 10. I hope it helps.
But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar as the Lord commanded Moses.
But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt on the hearth of the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, understand, command is not suggestion, and this is a move of work that's obedience. Do you ever have problems remembering that the call, the fat, and the kidney? You don't ever have a problem with that? Well, for those that do, think about something that we have in America, a place that you get chicken, and it's fried. It's called KFC. Stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now somebody say, I don't get no Kentucky Fried Chicken out of this tent verse, and you never will. But if you think that the thing that they did in the purification was to burn that KFC on the altar, that cake should remind you of kidneys if you read the passage enough. The F should remind you of the fat, and the C should remind you of call. Now, if your Bible call it suet, you'll have to make the other word for it. But the kidneys, the fat, and the call, which is above the liver, I thought I would give you that for free. Thank you, ma'am. Next verse.
And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp.
And the flesh and the skin he burnt outside of the camp and has been prescribed before to have it done. Outside of the camp, the rest of it was burned. It was not used for anything else, but it was totally consumed. The purification has now taken place. Please read.
And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar.
He had work to do on himself. And the work that he had to do on himself, he had to be particular about himself. Do you notice he's dealing with himself first? You don't see him doing anything for his sons. You don't see him doing anything for Moses. You don't see him doing anything for the people, for the Canaanites, the Hittites yet. Somebody said, why do you say that? Because eventually he is going to make sacrifices for all the nations. Yes, he will. But he slew the burnt offering as he was commanded, and his sons presented unto him the blood, the life of flesh, and then the blood. He sprinkled that round about the altar. Please read.
And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof, and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar.
And he presented the burnt offering. And if you remember chapter 1, it's the head and the fat. They take that and they lay it upon the wood, upon the fire of the altar. Then they take the fat. Then they take the kidneys and they take the caul and they burn that. Please read.
And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar.
And he washed the inside, the internal parts of this burnt offering. Mm-hmm. Where the head and the fat already had been. Mm-hmm. And the legs. And he burnt them as an offering upon the altar. Please read.
And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people.
Now, we don't know how long this took. This one verse to the next is fast. But we realize that when he did it, this was a time-consuming thing. And that was something that would have happened and he would know it was accepted. And now we realize that Aaron is not purified. Aaron is now in the position of having been dedicated to God, having taken that, and the blood is upon the altar. Now, let's see what I can do for somebody else. One of the worst things that can ever happen is someone that's not trying to walk with God. All of a sudden, they learn two scriptures, and now they want to have a ministry. Not purified, not dedicated, not in communion with God. God can't get out even, let alone a tenth. He can't get a tribute from some people because of the fact we don't have the faith to believe that when we give to God many times that God is king and he can do with what we give to him what he wants to. So God is getting nothing from them except for, you know, Lord, this is the way for me to get some of your glory. Glory is the word kabod, weight and honor without paying the price. And that's taking God's name in vain as well. Please read.
And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering.
The sin offering, hatah, which is the purification.
And slew it and offered it for sin as the first.
Now, the beautiful thing about this when we look at it is this is still God's grace to purify everybody so that he can have his presence there. It's God's grace that's being manifested through the faith because he can say, all of this I've done. Why can't God show me his glory now? No, you obey. You do the work. You are created to do his workman, to do his work. Somebody say, Tim, how do you know that? Because now I got the Bible on my iPod. And I've been listening to Exodus again. And God is the one that decided the clothes that they're going to wear. And God is the one that designed those things for glory and for honor and for beauty. In other words, somebody had already worked so that Aaron could be in the position of work. Now, Aaron has worked to do what he has to do so that they can be in the position to do what God wants them to do. You know, you'll hear the asininity that comes from people. And when I say asininity, it may not be that they mean to be asinine. But people will say, if you did nothing to save yourself, you can't do anything to maintain your salvation. You heard that one before, Ann? I submit to you that you can do nothing to orchestrate your own salvation. God does it. And I submit to you that you can't orchestrate anything of your own to maintain your purity before God, your dedication to God, your belief in God on your own. But that in which God prescribes, you can do. And these people did have to maintain that fire on the altar. They did have to maintain doing God's will because his grace is not going to be overrun by our shortcuts. And the lack of faith is shown when you won't do the work that he's given. Well, it says he offered the people's offering. He slew it. He offered it as for the first. He treated them as he treated himself. That's the key to judgment, Ann. If you can treat yourself according to God's word in judgment, and people can see it, when you treat them the same way, what leg do they have to stand on when they say you're impartial? Please read.
And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner.
Yes, ma'am.
And he brought the meat offering and took an handful thereof.
He brought the tribute, the mincha, the tribute offering or the tribute drawing near offering. And he did what?
And burn it upon the altar beside the burnt offering. The burnt sacrifice of the morning.
Now, when we talk about the burnt sacrifice of the morning, I believe it's back in Exodus 29. If it's not 29, it's somewhere in that neighborhood. They had to make an evening and a morning sacrifice, a burnt offering, for a perpetual statute. So when he says he burnt the burnt offering and offered it according to that manner, and he brought the meat offering and did it beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning, it's because they're doing it in the daytime. If they'd been doing it in the nighttime, it would have said the burnt sacrifice of the evening. Please read.
He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people.
He sacrificed the bullock and the ram for the peace offerings, which were for the people. And Aaron what?
And Aaron's sons presented unto him
the blood,
which he sprinkled upon the altar round about.
And the blood is there showing that whenever that individual has that blood placed upon the altar, that individual is covered by that blood. That blood is covered, and this peace offering is the offering where they share a certain part with the priest, if I'm not mistaken, the breast and the right thigh, and then they're able to have a communal meal with God. Please read.
And the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, and that which covereth the inwards, and the kidneys, and the caul above the liver.
Now we added something to the KFC. That rump, that part that's hard against the backbone, and that is burned. Please read.
And they put the fat upon the breast, and he burnt the fat upon the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And the breast and the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded.
Now remember, we said that right shoulder is not what the frontal part is, the back right thigh. And the breast and the right shoulder, Aaron elevated. We're talking about that wave offering, okay? They lifted up, dedicated to God. Now some think it's swinging back and forth, but what this is motioning it to give it to God, and God is giving it back. So when we give to God any of our offerings or whatever it is, then if it's truly given to God, you see, if you give anything to this ministry that we're doing, and you don't see us staying in God's word, being serious about God's word, doing everything that we know how to push, to prod, to provoke, to love and good works, then stop giving to us. Seriously. Do not take and give of your earned money or whatever it is, calling yourself doing and giving to God if we're not doing for God. You should be able to see is the number one focus that they have is to do for God. If it is and you say, Lord, I'm trying to support this and you give it to God, then God can bless us with it and then he can give back to you how he wants to. But if you see that the very thing that I'm out doing, going out and getting drunk, chasing women, doing all kind of ungodliness, and I'm not living and preaching right, you don't keep sticking with somebody like that. You have to say, Lord, he's not doing right. I can pray for him. I can rebuke him. Maybe you can change him, but I'm not going to support that. I can't do it. And somebody ought to be able to call me to the carpet and help Ann, because I'm sure she'll be doing it herself. But it says the breast, the right shoulder, they wave, they give to God before the Lord, as was commanded by Moses. That was the work that they were supposed to do to enjoy the grace of God, to show that they had faith in God so that God could dwell in the midst of the family for protection, provision, and that he could give them the promise of his son. Please read.
And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering, and the peace offering.
And Aaron lift up his hand. You see, a lot, most of the time we pray with our heads down. We thank God with our heads down. Nothing wrong with that. But there are other ways that they prayed. Aaron lift up his hands toward the heavens and toward the people and blessed them. I don't know if he said this one yet, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord lift his face upon you, and lift his countenance upon you, and be gracious to you, and give you peace. I don't know if that's the one he said right then, but he is told to say that in number 6. But the word of God said he blessed them and came down from offering the purification offering. And that's a beautiful thing. Because we're now saying that this thing is now, this offering has been given, has been accepted. And he offered, and given a burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin offering. And verse 23 says what?
And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people.
Came out and got blessed again. Do you see the blessing before? Then Aaron and Moses go into the tabernacle of the congregation and they come out. Aaron's got his regalia on. He's got his regalia on, saints. He's got those ouches on his shoulder with the two stones with the memorial of the 6 names of each tribe on it. He's got his breastplate on. He's got his ephod on. He's got his mitre on with holiness to the Lord on it. He's got his sash on with the curious girdle on. If it's not, you don't want to call it curious, the highly designed girdle. Aaron is right. He's blessed the people, and he and his leader go inside of the tabernacle, and they come out, and both of them bless the people. God has bestowed glory and honor to Aaron, and now Aaron and Moses is coming out to bestow glory and honor and peace to the people. Please read some more.
And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people.
This is what God wanted, Andrina. I submit to you, it wouldn't have happened if they hadn't done the work. But it wasn't a work that they came up with. It was a work of obedience, which is not considered to be a work because as unprofitable servants, that's what Jesus said in his parable, you've done no more than you're supposed to do. Here it is, God's orchestrated it. I want to be here. God has orchestrated the tabernacle. He's orchestrated what you need to dress like in order to have my presence to dwell with you. Because ceremonially, you got to be pure. Ceremonially, I'm going to make you almost like angels in your dress insofar as holiness. Now I've told you how to purify. Because see, what people don't understand, the blood really does purify. Remember when we read through the Bible, and the Bible talk about the land filled with violence, and when a murderer kills somebody, the murderer has to be put to death by the avenger of blood because blood will purify the land. The blood of the individual, this is purified. God has taught them. God's grace has done it. The faith in what he said, carried out by the works, allowed God's presence to come and be in the family. Read 23 again and then take me through the last verse.
And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces.
Holly, and I do mean Luya. Think about this. The people, when they obeyed, when they stepped into the grace that God had for them, when these individuals realized that faith had to be mixed with their works, just like Jesus' brother James says, God kept his promise. And the glory came in. Whoosh, boom, burnt that thing up on the altar. And the people saw God's power like that. And the Bible said they fell on their faces. Well, what does that remind you of? It reminds you of somebody that's gotten to the place where they realize that when God's presence is there, this is not something to play with. This is the glory of God, because God has promised that we didn't deserve it, but the way we can say we deserve it, we did what he said. That's a deserving, but not of your own. You did not deserve anything. You obeyed. When Isaiah saw God like that, he was afraid. I submit to you that when God did that to the animals on that altar, had those people been in the wrong, in God's presence, if it had come anyway, it would have been for judgment. Not for protection, not for provision, and not for his future promise. It wouldn't have been. But that's not the only time that has happened. There was a time that God had talked to Samson's mother. They offered a sacrifice. And the angel of the Lord, what did he do? He received that offering. Then he touched it and it burned up. And the angel went up and Manoah was scared. Yes, right. And then what was another time? You talked about it yesterday. When Solomon's temple, same thing. The fire came down. God's fire. And Lord, what about the time with Elijah? And God's presence came. Burnt the sacrifice and licked up all the water. I submit to you, God's presence wants to be in our families. He wants to be with us individually. And those of us that are in the position of leadership in our homes, are we really purified? Are we still contaminated with this world's stench? Are we really purified? Are we still contaminated with our old ways, with ways of our family, ways of our culture, ways of religion that was away from God's word? If we're not purified, how dare we to look at our children and feel they should be purified? How dare we look at our brothers and our cousins and people in this world and feel they should be when we haven't been a first partaker of the fruit? Are we dedicated to God? Seriously. One heartbeat away from eternity. And we may not even be purified. One car wreck away from not being able to change anything about our lives. And have we had a peace offering with God, communion with God yet? One disability away from being in a position that, you know what, you won't have much to give God as tribute anymore other than your life, which is great. We better count the time and make our calling and election sure. Because we have too much knowledge and too much of God's word given to us to not realize that God's actions are the same. It's by grace. It's through faith that the presence of God can be in our lives, dwelling amongst us for protection, for provision, and all of his promises. But if we want to leave out what most people want to leave out, the work, if we leave out the work that God has prescribed, we failed. Now, if we move on to the book of Joshua, we're going to see that the work is going to entail more than just sacrifices. We're going to see the work is going to be to drive out Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites. We got to be prepared for battle. We're going to see the work for God is to also bring light to the Gentile world. But if we can't bring light to ourselves and to our families, rest fully assured God is aware. He keeps account. If we're not right with God tonight, what we need to do is we need to go before God and ask Him to purify us. Purify our hearts, our minds, our lives, and whatever we've entangled ourselves with. Get rid of it. Give ourselves to God as a whole burnt offering. Lord, here's my life. Take my life and make it completely yours. I don't want to be controlled anymore. I want to stay on the altar. My legs, my inward parts, my head, and the part that covers my inside to keep it from rattling around inside of my body. I want all that dedicated to you. I want communion with you completely. And Lord, I offer myself first as a tribute to you, and anything else I offer, please accept it so I can do your will, so that I can help in your plan of having other people to have your presence in their lives and in their family's life. That's what we need. That's where we better go. And all that is tied up in the Word of God. Let's not act like the Word of God is not relevant to us in the Old Testament. It is. Very picturesque and very sound. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the glory that you have shared to those of us that don't deserve it. Lord, let us not take you for granted. Let us not take our altar and put it there and then remove it. Let us not take, our animal and put it on the altar and remove it. Let us not take back from your tribute. Let us not stop. And let us not stop having communion with you. Let us not get to the place where we feel that your grace is always there and we don't have to obey, because we say we have faith, which is impossible under the scenario that you've shown us, to have faith and not do the works. But Lord, let us be the kind of people that look forward to, with all our might, your presence when we obey in every situation in our life. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, that magnificent Christ. Amen and amen, and even so, amen.